You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Howdy, aloha, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I'm wearing this cool shirt that says Fly In by Drone You. Eat, sleep, drone, repeat. Eat, sleep, drone, repeat. I just showed it on the camera, so if you guys want to check it out.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. This is episode number 848. Glad you're with us. I'm Rob, glad to be here, and very thankful that you continue to listen. And if it's your first time, that's awesome. Hope you like it.
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about the National Forest Service and the large wildfires that are affecting California, as many drone pilots, and I would say newer drone pilots, inexperienced drone pilots who just want to stay relevant on YouTube, are flying fires, and even personnel of these agencies are flying these fires, and they're making, you know, helicopters land. They're not able to do their job. So today we've been asked to make a public service announcement. We're going to play the whole question, which really isn't a question. It's more of a statement. But I will say, in the search and rescue presentation at the Drone You Fly In this year, they talked a lot about airspace management, because airspace management is one of those quintessential things that you would need to really handle any National Forest Service or fire emergency. And what I'm talking about is actually, I'm not sure if you saw it, Rob, but at the counter UAS demonstration that we did, they showcased the new drone Flea. Terra Vigilis was showcasing this. It's like the size of a phone, and it's a mobile no-fly zone for literally like 500 meters in every direction. And the cool thing, though, too, is that you can whitelist the good drones. So it would be really powerful if National Forest Service had the drone Flea system. I'm not even sure how much it is, so that they could literally land nefarious drones and maintain command control. But I have to say, and we'll talk about this after the statement, if you are ever asked to fly a wildfire for whatever reason, you have to maintain the chain of command. You must go to the top, at the very top agency who's working the whole thing. You can't just let some low-level personnel be like, oh yeah, you're fine to fly. I mean, even recently here in New Mexico, there was a fire near Los Alamos, and I finally found out who the pilot of that red drone was when they were talking about how a red drone was making Forest Service land their helicopters. It was actually a Los Alamos National Labs drone.
Really?
Yep. And
they had permission. They had talked
they had
to
permission
ground control.
They had permission from one entity to fly, not the National Forest Service, not the Coast Guard, who was actually who had their big tanker airplanes flying all over and dropping fire retardant.
Really smart people do really, really dumb things. Apparently.
Jinx. Yes, they do. And that's why it also showcases why chain of command is so important. Before I keep yapping along, let's hear the public service announcement from our friend, Mr. Mark Brissett.
Hey, Paul and Rob. Mark Brissett here in Grand Junction, Colorado. Hey, didn't so much have a question this time, but more of a request to see if y'all might consider making a public service announcement. Here in Colorado, California, several other places across the country, we've got wildfires going crazy, and we keep hearing reports of drone operators flying and grounding the aircraft. Wonder if y'all might make a special episode or announcement talking about that and discouraging and making sure people understand the hazards and why they need to stop doing it. So appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
So, well, number one, I think Mark just made the announcement, but it is really, really important. This can't be understated, the importance of this.
It really can't, no.
Lives are literally at stake here, not because on a couple fronts, right? One is the pilots that are up in the air, obviously. Few numbers, but nonetheless lives. But beyond that, when they see drones, correct me if I'm wrong, they shut things down. They take the pilots out of the air.
They do.
And so they're no longer doing the work they need to do to get rid of the fires or to work on the fires.
True.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
So how should this happen, if at all, if somebody is thinking about flying? What would be the protocol?
Typically, drones are not used at all in fire service. I mean, they could be used a little bit for, you know, understanding where hotspots are and whatnot, but typically they're not being used. if they do want an eye in the sky for whatever reason, you have to go to chain of command. You have to find out who is in charge of the entire operation and go to them and them only. And if they tell you no and they tell you don't fly it, you don't fly it. This is not an ego thing. Like, if they don't think you can help out, you're not helping out. And oftentimes people who think that they are helping out are not helping out. It's one of those things that, you know, we talked about this in the search and rescue podcast, where people are just doing these search and rescues and ending up, they could end up killing people because of the lack of knowledge.
Right.
So that being said, it's really powerful, you know, to work with the chain of command and work with the right people. And if you do get the opportunity to fly, do so responsibly.
Yeah. And most likely if they do need a drone in the air, they're going to have somebody in mind.
True. And I'm just going to say this, 99% of the time, you're not going to be able to fly a wildflower or a wildfire.
You can fly a wildflower every now and then.
just not a wildfire.
Just go through chain of command, you'll be fine.
True.
In all seriousness, this is very serious.
Yes.
To be repetitive.
But anyway, I think that gets the message out. And guys, if you have a question, go to askdroney.com, upload your questions there. We got a lot of good ones actually coming up that we're excited about. And being back here in the after the fly-in, have really raised some other questions and some points that I want to make sure that get out to all of you. I keep seeing constant errors, horizon drifts, bad camera motions, and people are wondering what's going on. And it's actually a very simple, common problem that people ignore all the time. So to find out what that is, just stay tuned. Subscribe to the show. Leave us a review. We greatly appreciate it. Or share it with a friend this holiday season. We're one of the few podcasts that continues to pump out podcasts over the summer when most podcasters take a nice little summer vacation. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.